Welcome to the CryptoZoo. I'm your CryptoZoo keeper, Jay, and today we will be talking about the Flatwoods Monster.
You heard about cryptids, but what do you know? Hear a little more on this here show. What are cryptids and what do they do? Learn about cryptids at the CryptoZoo.
When it comes to cryptids, West Virginia is strongly Mothman country, but there are other mysterious monsters in the Mountain State. Smack dab in the middle of the state is Braxton County, and smack dab in the middle of Braxton County is a tiny little town of less than 300 people called Flatwoods. And Flatwoods is a great place for a monster. And conveniently, it has one, also conveniently called the Flatwoods Monster. Also known as the Green Monster, the Phantom of Flatwoods, the Braxton County Monster, or simply Braxty, the Flatwoods Monster is described as being about 10 feet tall, 4 feet wide, and robotic in nature. It's said to have a red, round head that is surrounded by a dark, spade-shaped cowl. The face has two glowing, greenish-orange eyes that are about the size of half dollars and have been described as portholes. Its body is reportedly covered in some kind of metallic armor made of thick vertical pipes and is said to be either black or dark green in color, and it wears clothing that is loose enough to have noticeable folds, like a dress or a skirt. Some accounts claim that the monster has no arms, while some say that it has small appendages with claw-like hands. The entity is said to make a hissing sound, and its motions are gliding as if it is floating on air rather than walking. It is also said to be accompanied by a pungent stink that is bad enough to nauseate witnesses. As for the mythology behind the Flatwoods Monster, there's not much there. But West Virginia is located entirely within the Appalachian Mountains, and the area is known as a UFO hotspot, with an extreme concentration of sightings having occurred in the early 70s. Since many consider the Flatwoods Monster to be of an extraterrestrial origin, Braxton County's location within this hotspot is significant in reference to this particular cryptid. Which brings us to the sightings. By far the most famous sighting of the Flatwoods Monster occurred on the evening of September 12, 1952, at around 7:15 p.m. Three boys, brothers Edward and Freddie May, along with their pal Tommy Heyer, who were 13, 12, and 10 respectively, were playing at the Flatwoods Elementary School playground when they saw a bright light streak across the sky and crash into a hillside on the farm property of their neighbor, G. Bailey Fisher. They ran and got their mom, Kathleen May, who in turn summoned another neighbor, 17-year-old West Virginia National Guardsman Eugene Lemon, to go and investigate. Two other boys, 14-year-old Neil Nunley and 10-year-old Ronnie Shaver, as well as Lemon's dog, Richie, all tagged along as well. When the group got about a quarter of a mile from the site of the crash, Richie the dog ran ahead barking, but returned quickly, whimpering, with his tail between his legs. The group soldiered on, and when they reached the area, they were greeted by a pulsing red ball of fire. Lemon shined his flashlight around, and about 50 feet off to the right of the group, they saw a 10-foot-tall, red-faced, spade-headed creature with glowing eyes and twisted arms that appeared to be wearing a dark metallic dress. It was surrounded by a thick, smelly mist that made all of their noses and eyes burn and seemed to be levitating about a foot or so off the ground. Then it started hissing and levitating right towards them. Of course, they all ran, terrified of the strange thing. It's rumored that one of the boys even urinated in his pants. Kathleen and Eugene reported the sighting to the local authorities, and Sheriff Robert Carr took his deputy, Burnell Long, and went back to the spot right away. Aside from the lingering smell of industrial exhaust, the officers found nothing. The next morning, however, a reporter for the Braxton Democrat, one A. Lee Stewart, Jr., traveled to the area and reportedly found a fresh set of skid marks and an odd black gummy deposit in the field, suggesting that the beast was not organic, but mechanical, possibly a robot instead of an alien. When Stewart's article ran, it kicked off a media frenzy. Newspapers and radio stations from all over the country descended upon Flatwoods to cover the story of the Green Monster, which one newspaper described colorfully as Frankenstein with B.O. Kathleen and Eugene were even invited up to New York for an interview with CBS News. And the press weren't the only parties interested in the Flatwoods Monster. Ufologists and Fortean researchers such as Gray Barker and Ivan T. Sanderson also examined the site. And of course, so did the U.S. Air Force, who conducted their own investigation as part of its Project Blue Book initiative about extraterrestrial encounters. The additional investigation turned up another sighting that occurred just a few days before the Fisher's Farm one. That particular encounter occurred near Heaters, West Virginia, about 5 miles north of Flatwoods. In that report, Mrs. Audra Harper was cutting through the woods with a friend to get to a nearby store when they noticed a ball of fire on a hill not far from where they were. They assumed it was just drunken neighbors fooling around and passed on by, but when Harper stole a glance back, the fireball was gone and it was replaced by the silhouette of a large humanoid figure. The two women didn't stick around long enough to get a better look. There was also a sighting the day after the Fisher's Farm event on September 13th of 1952. This time, it was near Strange Creek, about 20 miles south of Flatwoods. George and Edith Snitowski were driving with their 18-month-old son on rural Route 4 between Clay and Braxton counties when their car mysteriously stalled. While George was trying to get it started again, a sulfuric-smelling mist surrounded the car, permeating the air enough to cause the baby to start crying. Suddenly, a bright light shone at the front of the car, and George and Edith saw the same 10-foot-tall being hovering before them. Except this time, it wasn't wearing its spade-shaped hood. The couple could see its head and upper body, which they described as reptilian and bony. The creature scraped its similarly bony hand across the hood of the car, then drifted off into the woods. Miraculously, the car then started, and the family was able to speed away. This monster is generally thought to be the same as the Flatwoods Monster, but also has been given its own name, the Frametown Monster, named for the area in which it was sighted. So this may be a cryptid for another episode. Meanwhile, the investigations in Flatwoods also turned up other encounters. A mother and daughter reported that they encountered a similar being a week earlier, around the time of the Harper sighting, and this experience sent the daughter to the hospital with anxiety and panic for 3 weeks. The director of the Flatwoods Board of Education reported seeing a strange craft, which he described as a flying saucer, take off around 6:30 a.m. on the 13th, the morning after the Fisher's Farm sighting. And Eugene Lemon's mother gave an official statement to researchers that her house had shaken violently and that her radio had cut out for about 45 minutes on the night of the original crash. It's also worth noting that some of the original group of Fisher's Farm witnesses suffered from throat irritation, nausea, and vomiting in the days after the encounter, which they attribute to the pungent-smelling mist that surrounded the creature. So the sighting was the gift that kept on giving, at least for a few days. And then, the monster was gone. And it never came back. So, what could the Flatwoods Monster actually be? Well, as for the light in the sky, that one's fairly easy to explain. It's generally accepted that what witnesses saw shoot across the sky that night was a meteor. There was a meteor observed across Maryland, Pennsylvania, and most importantly, West Virginia, on the night of September 12th. Unless that meteor was actually the UFO and was seen shooting across those three states before crashing in West Virginia. As for the rest of the encounters, that's still up for debate. Professional skeptic Joe Nickel from the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry did his own investigation and agrees with the meteor theory and added that the pulsing red light was most likely an aircraft navigation or hazard beacon. He did note that a few aircraft beacons were visible from the location. As for the creature, Nickel noted its similarity in appearance to the barn owl, particularly in the face. Nickel also theorized that the sounds of dry leaves could be mistaken for hissing, and a tree upon which an owl could be perched could also be mistaken for the fabric skirt of the creature. Nickel also noted inconsistencies within the descriptions of the creature's arms or hands, casting doubt on whether it had any at all. These factors, coupled with a heightened state of anxiety in the area, is what Nickel says contributed to the witness accounts of the sightings. He believes it was neither an alien nor a cryptid, and, for what it's worth, the Air Force came to the same conclusion with its investigation. As for the material clues found at the site by A. Lee Stewart Jr. on the morning after the encounter, it was discovered that a local boy named Max Lockard had driven up to the site in his 1942 Chevy truck, hoping to catch a glimpse of something, arriving shortly after the first group of witnesses and the creature had left. The tracks and oily residue may have been from his vehicle, although this is widely debated. And what about the smelly mist? This seemed to have a somewhat lasting effect on some of the witnesses, and it was noted that the nose, throat, and eye irritation, along with nausea and vomiting, are signs of exposure to mustard gas. While many skeptics pass these symptoms off as mass hysteria among the witnesses, some also theorize that the whole thing could have been a military test or operation. This was during the early stages of the Cold War, after all. And then, it could just be what we hope and what the witnesses all think it was. A creature not yet discovered or classified by science, from either this world or another. A cryptid or an alien. As far as pop culture influence goes, the Flatwoods Monster would be considered a third-tier cryptid. Not quite as hugely popular as Bigfoot or Nessie, or even as Mothman or the Jersey Devil, but in the same realm as the Hodag or the Jackalope. It's been featured in movies, television shows, anime, manga, and especially video games. Although hardly a household name, the Flatwoods Monster has a devoted following and is well known by cryptozoologists and monster kids alike. And the creature has put the sleepy little town of Flatwoods on the map. All over Flatwoods, and even all over Braxton County, the Phantom of Flatwoods can be found. A sign welcoming visitors to town proudly claims it as the home of the Green Monster. September 12th is known as Braxton County Monster Day, and every year the legendary monster is celebrated in the annual Flatwood Days Festival. The nearby town of Sutton is home to the Flatwoods Monster Museum, and it is only one of dozens, if not hundreds, of places where tourists and curiosity seekers can learn about, and more importantly, purchase merchandise of, the town's beloved cryptid. There are 5 chairs around Sutton painted like good old Braxy, and a popular tourist activity is to get pictures in all 5 of them. Gotta catch them all. And that's just about gonna do it for this episode of the Cryptozoo. If you enjoyed what you heard, please like, follow, subscribe, share, rate, review, and all that other stuff. You can find us on Facebook, so drop in and say hi. We're also at thecryptozoo.com. That's thecrypto-zoo.com. So drop in there and say hi. And until next time, good night, sleep tight, and don't stop believing.
We love cryptids, big and small.